The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 16, Text Number 12, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 28, 2015, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tat me svabartu avasayam alakshamano yushmat vyatikrama gatim pratipadya sadya bhuya mama Antikam itam tat anugraha me yat kapatam acharita brittayo vivasa Tan me svabartu avasayam alakshamanam.
Tan me svabartu avasayam
alakshamanam. It's now, not num. Do that again. Tan me svabartu avasayam alakshamanam.
Tan me svabartu avasayam alakshamanam.
Yusmad vatikrama gatim pratipadya sadya.
Yusmad vatikrama.
Bhuyo mamantikam idam tadanugraho me.
Bhuyo mamantikam idam tadanugraho me.
Yat kalpatam acharito brityor vivasa.
Yat kalpatam acharito brityor vivasa.
Tan me svabarta ravasaya malakshamanao.
Tan me svabarta ravasaya
Yusmad vratikrama gatim pratipadya sadya.
Yusmad vratikrama gatim pratipadya sadya.
Bhuyo mamantikam idam tadanugraho me.
Bhuyo mamantikam idam tadanugraho me.
Yat kalpatam acharito brityor vivasa.
Yat kalpatam acharito.
Tat, therefore,
may
my svabartu of their master of asayam the intention alakshamano not knowing yusmat against you vyatikrama offense gatim result pratipadya reaping sanya immediately bhuya
again
mama antikam near me itam obtain tat
that
anugraha
a favor
may to me yet which kapatam let it be arranged acharita
not long
brityo of these two servants
vivasa
exile. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. These servants of mine have transgressed against you, not knowing the mind of their master. I shall therefore deem it a favor done to me if you order that, although reaping the fruit of their transgression, they may return to my presence soon, and the time of their exile from my abode may expire before long. Purport. From this statement, we can understand how anxious the Lord is to get his servitor back into Vaikuntha. This incident, therefore, proves that those who have once entered the Vaikuntha planet can never fall down. The case of Jaya and Vijaya is not a fall down, it is just an accident. The Lord is always anxious to get such devotees back again to the Vaikuntha planets as soon as possible. It is assumed that there is no possibility of a misunderstanding between the Lord and the devotees, but when there are discrepancies or disruptions between one devotee and another, one has to suffer the consequences, although that suffering is temporary. The Lord is so kind to his devotees that he took all the responsibility for the doorman's offense and requested the sages to give them facilities to return to Vaikuntha as soon as possible. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shim Shakandvitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So this is a rather interesting purport from the standpoint of some of these controversies that we hear going around sometimes. Prabhupada says here, this incident proves that those who have once entered a Vaikuntha planet can never fall down. So people argue that, well, we didn't really originate then in the spiritual world. We came from some other place. But that's not the correct understanding, because Prabhupada does many times explain how we fell down from the spiritual world. So, in one place he explains that actually it's only an apparent fall down. In other words, doesn't one never really loses his position as the eternal servant of Krishna, having a certain identity in the spiritual world? That is actually never lost. It is simply apparently lost. It's covered, that's all. So the Krishna consciousness process is a process of removing that covering which prevents one from actually realizing his actual position. That actual position is never lost. Jivara Swarupa Hoy Krishnara Nichadas. The actual position is never lost. One always remains that servant of Krishna. Just like you're sleeping in your bed and you're dreaming you're somewhere else doing something else, you see. You're still sleeping in the bed. You're still in your house, you see, in your bedroom. But you're dreaming you're somewhere else. So actually this material existence is dreaming we're somewhere else. The fact is we're eternally situated with Krishna. But we forget our actual position, and we think that we're actually something else. We think that we're these material bodies. But our identity is never lost. That identity we have in the spiritual world is never lost. It just goes to a dormant state. That's all. So Krishna consciousness means to revive that, to bring it out of its dormant state back into the active state once again. One's eternal relationship with Krishna. So it's not something artificial that is imposed upon the living being. It's like I gave the example yesterday that the fire is there within the match. When you strike it, it comes out. So you have your actual identity, your swarup, your transcendental identity in Krishna's pastimes already there within you. It's just a matter of bringing it out again, bringing it back from the covered position to the uncovered position. In our covered position, we're suffering in so many ways. But actually, it's not really the position of the soul. He's not really a human or an animal or any of these different forms he's thinking is. Of course, in our original identity, we are human. The human consciousness is the common factor of all the living entities in the spiritual world. Even if they have different types of forms they take to serve Krishna's pastimes according to their desire to please Krishna in different ways. But every jiva soul in the spiritual world has human consciousness, although they may have different types of bodies. But actually they're all humans, and they assume those different forms to serve Krishna in those different capacities. So in this material world, we're dreaming sometimes human, sometimes an animal, sometimes a plant, sometimes a germ. This is different types of dream states, that's all. It doesn't change our actual identity. So by taking this particular situation we're in now and engaging in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, under the guidance of the sadhus, under the guidance of the scriptures, you see, this brings us back to our original identities. Eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Now we're sleeping in this material existence. We're not awake to our actual natures. We're covered by the modes of nature. Instead of experiencing eternity, knowledge and bliss, Sat-Chit-Ananda, we're experiencing Asat, Achit, Nirananda, temporality, ignorance and misery. So we have a choice now. We can remain in this sleeping condition, experiencing temporality, ignorance and misery, or we can come out of it by taking advantage of this process of Krishna consciousness. That's our choice. We can remain asleep or we can wake up. Trouble is, most people think it's a very nice dream. They don't realize this is a nightmare we're having here. To identify oneself with a material body, no matter what sort of material body it may be, even the body of Brahma, it's a nightmare. We're thinking it's a pleasant dream, but actually it's a nightmare. We're caught up in a nightmare. Bodily consciousness is a nightmare. Even if you have you're rich or famous or powerful, it's still a nightmare because it's all going to be taken away. And then according to your karma, you go down to the lower species. So if we can hear from the great sages, Shoktiyam, you see, this is by hearing, it's a very important thing. We have to hear from the great sages, and Brahmanishtam, and this way become fixed. Brahmanishta means fixed in Krishna consciousness. We can take advantage of the transcendental sound vibrations coming from the great liberated souls like Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Goswamis, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. If we can take advantage of the powerful sound vibrations coming from these great liberated personalities. This will pull us out of our nightmarish condition of misidentifying with a lump of blood, stool, muscles, urine, and vomit that we think is ourselves. So how important it is to actually hear with full attention, to take in this message, to just take it all the way into the depths of our hearts, how important it is, you see. The quality of our hearing determines the quality of our consciousness. If we have muddied hearing, we have muddied consciousness. And what is that muddied with? Birth, death, old age, and disease. That's the mud. So we have a choice of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, or birth, death, old age, and disease. So the more we can actually qualitatively tune in our consciousness to the transcendental messages coming from these great sages. Prabhupada one time called it Guru Parampara Radio. Is it? If you can tune in to that radio broadcast, that's going to liberate you from this material existence. It'll get you out of this quagmire, this hellish quagmire. Is it? So we have to put our faith, we have to hear from these great personalities. And this will liberate us. So I have some questions that have come. If any more, you can write them down and send them forward. But we have quite a few here. Please advise how Mangal Arati plays a role in our devotional service. Prabhupada explains how the devotee should begin his day with Mangal Arati. Actually, it is also, if you study the Gravastakam prayers that we sing every morning at Mangal Arati, you will find out there is a ninth prayer also which describes the benefit of chanting these eight prayers. In this ninth prayer, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that anyone who chants these prayers during the Brahma Muhurta, that's the early hour before sunrise, you see, that person will achieve the direct service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world upon leaving his body. So now do you understand the importance of attending Mangal Arati? What is your point? What is your point?
Mangala is all auspicious for everything.
Yes. Mangal means auspicious. So by attending Mangal Arati, you create for yourself an auspicious day. As one godbrother stated, if you attend Mangal Arati, magic happens. So it's your choice what kind of day you want to have. Actually, it's interesting to note in this connection, Prabhupada said if you miss Mangal Arati, you have to fast until you distribute a Krishna book. So that happened to me one time. I was traveling with Vishnujan Swami, and we had our bus out on the street. So a couple of us slept in the bus to guard it at night from thieves, you know. So I somehow didn't wake up from Mangal Arati. You know, I wasn't in the ashram. I was out in the bus. And so Vishnujan Swami told me I had to fast. I just submitted a Krishna book. So I took prasadam and a Krishna book out on Sankirtan. I did my Krishna book right away, and I took my breakfast after doing my Krishna book. But you say, well, I don't live in the temple. I don't have to worry about it. Well, you can have Mangal Arati at home also. It's not that you have to be in the temple to sing the Gavastakam prayers. They can be sung anywhere. You can just do a simple thing with a stick of incense and some photograph. But everyone should rise early and do this Mangal Arati, sing the Gavastakam prayers in the early morning hours before sunrise. I guarantee you, if you do this, you'll get it. Magic will happen in your life. I absolutely guarantee you. If it doesn't happen, I won't come back to Melbourne anymore. Okay. How to be Krishna conscious always, 24 hours. Mangal Arati. Get yourself on the right track, really finally tune in from the very beginning of the day, and that momentum will carry you through the whole day. It seems like duplicity is working in the material world. We cannot be humble due to survival, so how am I to handle these two worlds? Humble to the temple and smart in the office. It's very Prabhupada said like that. He said, a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. So yeah, you get out there, you can be aggressive. You can be the Prabhupada said, a Krishna conscious businessman can become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. So yeah, when you're out in the material world, go for it. You know, be number one whatever you're doing. You see, but in the temple, I'm just, you know, I'm under the carpet. I'm taking a very humble position. So in the material world, when it comes to the material world, we're very aggressive. Actually, Prabhupada said, if we simply repeat that philosophy as it is, we will take over the whole world. Now, some devotees object to this. I mentioned this on the internet the other day on Facebook page. Some devotees got really upset. You can't desire it. We can't desire to take over the world. We just have to think about being Krishna conscious. But what do we sing every Mangalarti, the Nishanga prayers? Bahir Nasingo Hridaye Nasinga. So both things are there. Bahir Nasinga means, Prabhupada explains that Bahir Nasinga means to make the whole world Krishna conscious. And Hridaye Nasinga means to make myself Krishna conscious. So we're very humble, at the same time we're very aggressive. I would prefer Vaishnava government over Sharia law any day. So the Sharia law people are trying to take over the world right now. I'd rather have the Vaishnavas take over the world. I'd rather have Krishna conscious government than a Sharia law. I don't know about you all. I don't think we should only think about making ourselves Krishna conscious. I think we should also think about revolutionizing this planet by massive book distribution, Harinam, Prasad distribution, attractive preaching programs, etc. I really think we should be aggressive for taking over the world as soon as possible. And that same aggressiveness you can carry over in your office, you see. You know, be the top salesman if you're in a sales department, be the top salesman. Whatever you're doing, you should be, the devotees should excel in every department. We want our devotees to be leaders in every department of the human material world. Wherever you're working, you should try to excel and being the topmost person in that area. We want devotees should eventually become the leaders in all the universities, in all the government positions, in all the businesses. We want devotees to be the leaders everywhere. So you should be very aggressive out there in the material world for the service of Lord Chaitanya. What happens to someone who leaves his body remembering Tulsi Devi? Plant. As I'm attached to taking care of my Tulsi plants. Well, that's wonderful. Ki jai. You go back to Vrindavan. Let's see here. You, as a perfect acharya, I don't know about that one. You as a perfect acharya. They're saying he was a perfect acharya. Well, I may be a perfect fool, but I don't know about a perfect acharya. Always demonstrate practically how to do bhakti yoga. Walk the talk always. Now you come to Mangalarti, teaching us to follow suit, but my complacency pulls me back. How do I overcome my complacency? I know one godbrother, or actually not a godbrother, a godnephew was giving a class in Juhu temple. He said, if there's a devotee who criticizes you, move in with him. You see? If somebody is always pointing out your faults, that's the person you got to associate with, you see? Because that helps you overcome your complacency. If there's somebody who points out your faults, you're doing that wrong. You're doing it wrong. You should do it this way. That's the devotee association you should go for, you see? Not someone who just flatters your false ego. Oh, Prabhu, you're a perfect acharya. Yeah?
Previous question. I don't know who asked you, that if you are a perfect. In that regard, Prabhupada says something about himself. I'm not perfect, but I'm following the perfect person.
Yeah, Prabhupada said like that. So we're going to pause here for a minute to change the microphone. So yes, Prabhupada did say like that. He said that, I am not perfect, it's in one lecture, but my perfection is I'm repeating what I have heard from the perfect. Okay, so if I'm absorbed 24 hours in Krishna consciousness, how should I work in the office, study, make friendship, marriage, etc.? Do it all Krishna consciously. That's obvious. Yat karoshi, yat asnasi, yat dahosi. Now, what is it? Yeah, that's the whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer away, do it in Krishna consciousness. I'm trying to perfect myself, but it's taking a long time. Therefore, one of the qualities of a devotee is patience. You must have patience. Not only doctors should have patience. You should also have patience. Different kind of patience. What is the real meaning of devotee of a devotee? How can I apply this practice? Therefore, we offer our respectful obeisances to the Vaishnavas. We serve the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada's sister, Pishima, was an ideal example of this. She was saying she always wanted to cook for the Vaishnavas and please the devotees. She was so humble. Wherever she would sit, she would wash the area after she got up, thinking, I'm so contaminated, I've polluted the floor here where I sat. After she got up, she would wash the area where she had sat because she had contaminated by sitting there. That was her mentality. And she would say, what will you eat? She was always wanting to cook and serve the devotees. How can I understand who is a real devotee? That person whose only desire is to please Guru and Krishna, with his every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances, he is the real devotee. Okay, I get disturbed when I go on the street by the opposite sex. Please advise why this is so difficult to overcome. Because we are habituated since time immemorial to being attracted by the opposite sex. Therefore, we have to train ourselves. We have to make an endeavor not to be carried away by the beautiful girls walking around, you see. Therefore, they are our mothers. They are not objects of sense gratification. Every woman is our mother, and we're their son. So you have to just train yourself. See all the women as your mother and not an object of sense pleasure. By cultivation, you have to train yourself. What is the difference between karma mishra bhakti and the kind of uttama bhakti that is practiced by a kanishta bhakta? Kanishta bhakta is not practicing uttama bhakti. He's not there yet. He's in the karma mishra bhakti platform. Can you please describe the way that Vishnujana Swami inspired and encouraged you in the beginning of your Krishna consciousness path? Well, he was super enlivened by Krishna consciousness. He was very humble also. He was very, very humble. And he was super enlivened, what can I say? How can I deal with the challenges in my life? Embrace the challenges as the greatest blessing you've ever received in millions of lifetimes. Can you please explain the kind of class system that exists in ISKCON? We have the Varnashram system, that's simple. Actually, in one sense, we are a classless society. Spiritually, we are classless. Everyone is the same here. We're all the servants of Krishna. But because Krishna has asked us to establish these divisions of society, we do them. In the Vedic society, you have Brahmins, you have Kshatriya, you have Vaishya, you have Shudra. That is by Krishna's arrangement. It's natural. There are natural divisions in the human society. Just like your head, your arms, your belly, and your legs, they naturally have different functions. If we try to make them all one, you see, it's not practical. I like to walk with my stomach. Try walking with your stomach and see if it's practical. You know? It's not practical. Try eating with your legs. You see? So it's natural that there's going to be the divisions of society. We have to, it's not according to birth, it's according to your qualities and activities. So those who have an inclination to be Brahman, they should be trained how to be perfect Brahmins. Those who have an inclination to be Kshatriyas, they should be trained how to become perfect Kshatriyas. In this way, the class system is there within the Vedic culture. To whom is the prayer of Samsara Dhavanana dedicated to? Prabhupada only, our spiritual master, Mahaprabhu. It is a prayer to the spiritual master. So, when you sing Gravastikam prayers, you can meditate on your spiritual master who initiated you. You can also meditate on Prabhupada because he is also spiritual master. It actually, it wasn't, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had was the song, he wasn't writing the song for Prabhupada, he was writing it for the spiritual master. So the spiritual master, Prabhupada said, is one, but the persons may be many, because there's only one teaching. So you can meditate on your initiating guru, and actually you should, and also on Prabhupada. They're both there, and all the previous acharyas. There are different opinions amongst devotees on this. Actually, all the gurus are bona fide. This prayer applies to all spiritual masters. The spiritual master applies to all the spiritual masters. If I meditate on the great qualities of the spiritual master, and I can think of my Guru Maharaj, his Guru Maharaj, I can think of all the gurus. You see. But I specifically, for me, it's Prabhupada. In fact, I'm very happy when I sing Gravastakam in the morning, because you've seen this beautiful painting of Prabhupada over here on the wall. Incredibly bhakti. It's oozing with bhakti. I mean, it's so beautiful, so well done. I'm singing. Actually, when I got to the Pranam Mantra for Prabhupada, I just turned and I looked at him this morning and just bathed my consciousness in his darshan, you see. So, yeah, we want to bathe our consciousness in meditating on our spiritual master, his spiritual master, etc. But especially our spiritual master, because he's the one who's taking the karma to get us out of this place. The spiritual master sometimes has to suffer disease or different difficulties like injuries because of the sins of his disciples. It's not some generic thing. Actually, that person who's initiated you, he's the one who's personally put himself on the line. Prabhupada says the spiritual master has to take birth after birth until his disciples are all liberated back to Godhead. So you should feel some gratitude for that person who's stuck his neck out for you. You should feel something for that person. Not think, oh yeah, there's so many gurus, you know. My guru, their guru, it's all the same. No. That person who has taken the responsibility to have to take birth after birth for your sake, you should have some special feeling for that person. Should we knock and ring the bell before entering the temple? It actually is mentioned in the scriptures. Actually, in the beginning, we didn't have any bells by the doors, but then when the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, it mentioned it. Prabhupada mentions it in his books. So it became introduced to all the ISKCON temples after the Chaitanya Charitamrita was published. So it's a very nice thing to do when you come in. This bell is so nice, you can just hit it's so resonant, you can just put your knuckles on the bell and ring it. It's such a resonant, it's a wonderful resonant bell. You don't have to even do the ringer, just you know, put your knuckle, ding. It's a very beautiful, wonderful bell here. Yeah? Tell me again?
There's a wooden thing inside that doesn't make so loud noise.
Hmm. Okay, how can I give Krishna to others? Well, by distributing Prabhupada's books, that's the very best way you can do it, by going out on Harinam, by telling people how wonderful Krishna is, by yourself being absorbed in Krishna consciousness and sharing it with everyone. That's our duty, given by Lord Chaitanya. To make the world Krishna conscious, Is there any scriptural reference to say we all fell from the spiritual world? Yes, it is described in the... there is a verse that describes that. And Prabhupada's statements also are as good as scripture. Prabhupada makes it very clear that we our original position is in the spiritual world and we fell down in the material world. Otherwise, what does it mean, back to Godhead? Let's talk about solid evidence. What does the term back to Godhead mean? It means you were with Godhead, now you get back, right? Otherwise, what does it mean? If we weren't in Godhead to begin with, then how can we say back to Godhead? It's illogical. We must have been with Godhead originally, now we have to get back. Yeah? He never takes birth again. So they argue, well, we couldn't have come from the spiritual world originally because Krishna says you never take birth again. Wait a minute. That means if you once you go back, you won't fall a second time. Krishna doesn't say it's not possible to fall. He says that you won't fall a second time. Punar janma na vijate. They won't fall again. They won't take birth again. They've done it once, they won't do it again. It's the old saying, once burned, twice shy. A little kid may stick his hand in the fire once to see what it's like and never do it again, you see. So we've stuck our hand in the fire, we're not going to do it again. Of course you could if you're really an idiot. If you're mentally retarded, you could do it again. But no one does. The potential is there. Living in any can fall down again if he wants to, but he's not going to. He has the freedom to serve Krishna or not to serve him. Otherwise, if he doesn't have that freedom, he's just a puppet. So he has that freedom eternally. But having once abused it, he will never abuse it again because he's learned his lesson. How do we not get pride or downgrade on or have negative thoughts of ourselves when someone praises us for our service? Yes. How do you stay humble when someone says, you know, you're really a appropriate acharya? How do you stay humble? You have to say, well, I'm not really that, you know, I'm just trying. I'm trying to be a appropriate acharya, but I have so many faults. If someone says, you know, your lecture was so dynamic, it was so powerful, it was so surcharged with bhakti. You can say, yeah, it's all the mercy of Prabhupada, my spiritual master, you know. I'm just a messenger. And Prabhupada said like this, he said, they say I have done wonderful things, but actually I have done nothing wonderful. It is all the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. But if I have any credit, it is that I have faithfully served my spiritual master's orders. So that's the way to Prabhupada showed the perfect way to be humble. Don't take any credit for anything you've done right. Give all credit to your spiritual master. My only credit is I sincerely tried to obey him. And whatever you do wrong, yeah, I'll take full credit for it. Whatever mistakes you make, yeah, I'm a nonsense rascal. That's the way to keep the proper mood. In the Bhagavatam, first canto, it says that one who chants the Maha Mantra unknowingly goes back to Godhead. But we are saying that one should chant 16 rounds every day and follow the four regular principles. How does it relate? I'm not familiar with the exact subtleties of that quote you're referring to. That would help me if I actually saw the quote. But the fact is that we do need to chant these rounds faithfully and follow regulated principles. That's a fact. Now, why? Because that gives us the ability to give us the good hope of remembering Krishna at the time of death. It's a fact that even unknowingly one can become liberated. It happens sometimes. There's this example of that man who was being killed by a wild boar. And while he was killed, he went haram, which means condemned in the Urdu language. he said haram as he died, but the last syllable on his lips was ram. He was unknowingly chanting the names of God, and he got liberated. So you say, well, I'm not going to worry about chanting 16 rounds and following the full rules. I'll just go to the forest and get killed by a wild boar, and I'll chant haram as I'm dying. You know, it's not... It's not a very intelligent pose. If you want to make sure that you're going to chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, or remember Krishna at the time of death, then you chant your 16 rounds faithfully, follow the regulated principles. That'll give you the best shot at remembering Krishna at that last moment. It's not an absolute guarantee. It's not mechanical. But it gives you the best shot of doing it. Can you guide us how to improve our taste for hearing and chanting? How to do it consistently? Consistency is the key. If you do it every day and make it a habit, that's the key. And try to do it at the same time every day also. That makes it even more of a habit, especially the early morning hours. Make that a habit. How to keep our consciousness good even amongst some misunderstanding with devotees? Don't try to be, I have to be right. That's egotism. No, say the truth must always be known. That's the mood. Even if I'm wrong, I'm shown wrong, and I'm revealed what the truth is. That's all right. But the right to show you that you're wrong, and this truth is this, or you show me that you're wrong, that I'm wrong, I mean to say, and the truth is this, doesn't matter. We just want to, whether I'm right or you're right, that's egotism. We just know that this is, we just want to realize what is the truth. If I have to correct you, or if you have to correct me, that doesn't matter, you see. We're not on an egotistical platform in Krishna consciousness. The what is the true thing, that's all. And if I, whether I have to correct you, or if you correct me, it's the same. As long as the truth is established, that's the mood. Lord Chaitanya is the same as Lord Krishna, but it is said in the age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya is more magnanimous than Krishna. So does that mean that we can progress more by worshipping Lord Chaitanya? Is there any difference in showing or showering of mercy? Prabhupada engaged us in worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, the Panchatattva and Radha Krishna. That is the standard. Don't invent some new system. I'll just, instead of chanting Hare Krishna on my beads, I'll chant the Panchatattva mantra on my beads and get more benefit. Don't invent your own so-called bhakti system. You take what the great Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has given. That is the perfect formula for awakening your consciousness. Some people propose that. We should chant Panchatattva, or chant Gorna Nitai Gora, or something on the beat. It's bogus. It's completely bogus. Lord Chaitanya chanted Hare Krishna. So we follow his example. When the kids are memorizing verses without understanding the meaning of the verses, how beneficial is this? It's not very beneficial. It's a cute thing for the, you know, so they get up and do a little mantra for everybody, and then they forget about it next week. That's not very beneficial. I mean, it's nice, but it's not really... The real thing is, all of us should memorize verses and be able to quote them and meditate deep on their deep meaning. That's the real... If a child knows one verse, it can explain its meaning. You see? That is very good. I saw this, I remember one time. There was one little child, he had been coming to all the lectures. His parents had brought him to every... They were bringing him to from the very babyhood. He was coming to all the lectures. Instead of having the kids run and play during the lectures, in our center they would sit and hear during the lectures, you see. And I remember... that boy... And his father and myself went to a preaching program. And somehow or other, I don't know how, my wife, Vishnu Priya Manaji, was talking, called up on the phone, and that little boy answered. And he was kind of being neglected. and feeling a little bit out of place. He was in a strange city, in a strange place, and he wasn't being paid attention to by his father at that moment. And he said, they're not paying attention to me right now, but what can I say? Matra sparshastu kanteya shitosha sukadukada. He quoted a Gita verse. Six-year-old kid, you see, explaining his situation. Well, you got to be tolerant of the dualities. Matra sparshastu kanteya. 60-year-old boy talking to my wife on the phone, you see. And he didn't do a little thing for Janmashtami, memorizing some verses, and everybody goes, they applaud, and all the kids smile, you know. But he just heard the classes. He heard the classes, and even while trying, without, see, the children have a much better power of memorization than we do. A kid, you can put him in he can learn three languages, but not even cracking a book, just by being in the right atmosphere. We have to go to the university, you know, spend 10 years, and still we're not fluent in some language. But a kid can pick it up in a few months is by being in that atmosphere. Their brains are so fertile for learning things, you see. So this kid picked up Matra Sparshastu Kanteya just by hearing it in the lectures. He knew the Sanskrit and the English and knew the purport. He could apply it to the situation he was in, being in a strange house in a strange town, and his father wasn't paying attention to him. Matra Sparshastu Kanteya. So, please guide me how to maintain cleanliness. If I don't have time because of being at work, busy work and commitment, but I'd like to attend the temple. You do have time to take a bath. At least once a day you have to take a bath. You must take a bath. Actually, for a Brahmin, Prabhupada says they must take a bath three times a day, or at least twice. That is Brahmin. So once a day is absolutely essential. If you can't take twice, you must at least bathe once a day. Of course, sometimes if we're not able to, like on the airplane, what you can do? You know, overnight flight, and you're not going to go into the toilet and take the water and splash it all over yourself inside there and make a big mess, and they'll get really disturbed if you try to take a bath on the airplane. You know, sometimes you can't do it. Although on the train one time, on the Indian train, I took a full bath in the toilet. I just stood over, you know, the toilet, you open it up and it goes down to the track, you know. I just stood there, and you know, you have places you stand on the toilet. I just pour water over myself on the toilet in the train. There was no problem on the train. But yeah, we should always take baths as much as possible. Sometimes we may not be able to on the airplanes, but practically everywhere else you can take bath. Prabhupada even one time took bath in the airport. he went into the men's room. There was no shower. He just took a bath right there took a bath right there in the middle of the bathroom. There's water all over the floor. Prabhupada did that in one airport. Sudhakirti would tell the story. So taking bath is actually very essential. You should always try to take bath as much as possible. Prabhupada showed, you see. So our questions have run out, and it looks like we're almost time for the next program, namely Prasadam. Is there some more questions? That's it? Okay. So we thank you all very much for coming today. May these... Huh? Oh, any questions from the internet? No questions from the internet have come in. So that's it. We can go ahead and stop here. I have some prasadam to pass out. And we thank you, all of you, for being here today. Please take this Krishna consciousness very seriously. It's a matter of spiritual life or death. So take it very seriously that I must now fully absorb myself in Krishna consciousness 24/7. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Goda Premanandi.